The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak have faced off in a hustings in Belfast as the race to number 10 Downing Street reaches the halfway point. The pair fielded questions about Northern Ireland, the protocol, the Stormont executive and more. To give you an idea, though, of the Conservative Party in Northern Ireland, it received just 254 votes in the recent Assembly elections. And of the party's 200,000 members, only between 300 and 600 of them live in Northern Ireland. But it does mean that just 0.03% of the population of Northern Ireland will have some say in the picking of the next British Prime Minister. We're joined on the line by Deirdre Heenan, Professor of Social Policy at the University of Ulster, columnist with the Business Post. Good morning, Deirdre.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the hustings in Belfast, I mean, is this simply for the optics of it? We better go there. There are no votes there, really, but we better be seen to go.
Yes, indeed. I think that just about sums it up. There would be an onus on the candidates to say, obviously, that part of their remit is the union and protecting the union. It would be important to be seen in all parts of the union. So in many ways, yesterday felt very much like a tick box exercise. And I suppose why people were particularly interested in Northern Ireland is because the Northern Ireland Protocol has been front and centre of the debates around the Conservative Party. But interestingly, the Northern Ireland Protocol, and indeed the fact that Northern Ireland currently has no government, has not loomed large in these debates. In the main debates on the BBC, I don't think it was mentioned at all. There was no discussion about the proposals for the Northern Ireland Protocol. Yeah. And of course, that will then have a knock-on effect if there was to be a trade war. That would have a huge impact on the cost of living. So it's not that we're suggesting that Northern Ireland is more important than it might be, but there are serious consequences for what is happening in terms of the UK relationship with the European Union.
Now, I was watching CNN last night and there was a conversation between their presenter and Richard Quest, who does their business, and they were talking about why inflation in Britain is over 10%, 10.1% greater than it is in the European economies. Mm. And one of the things that Richard Quest mentioned was Brexit.
Yeah.
Now, it seems as if it's almost the thing that cannot be mentioned, dare not mention its name, because it does seem that they have not prospered under Brexit, and yet they have to ignore it.
Well, it does feel very much like the elephant in the room, and talking about the cost of fuel, the cost of imports, the cost of exports. And of course, taking a step back from this, it is only logical to suggest that once you start putting barriers up, putting bureaucracy in place, that things are going to become more expensive. I mean, that is a given. And so there was always going to be costs baked into Brexit. But what we were told is these costs would soon disappear, and indeed the UK would flourish under Brexit because they would be able to control things that we were told that they couldn't control, like, for example, VAT and caps on fuel. And what we are seeing is France taking action, Spain taking action, Italy taking action. And meanwhile, inflation is running away in the UK. And people are beginning now to question, really, I think the media as well are beginning to say, well, sorry, this is not what we were told. It's not what we were sold. And we really have to start talking about it and saying, what are we going to do?
Now, I watched Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss in various debate formats, and what did emerge, I think, was that maybe Brexit was all about immigration. That's really what it was all about, that deep down it was kind of keep Johnny Foreigner out of here.
It was, and that really was. So at an emotional level, people were told, you know, you can't get to see the doctor, your children can't get to the school they want because these pesky immigrants are taking all your places. They're coming here, getting welfare benefits and sending them back to Poland. Why would we want this? But we know now that what was sold to people was a tissue of lies. We know that immigrants are net contributors to the economy. We can see the parts of the economy that are collapsing, for example, social care, because people have left and there's no one there to do the work that is urgently required, that the NHS can't attract people anymore because of visa difficulties. So I think there is a growing realization. And it was interesting that after Brexit, immigration almost dropped off the agenda. It's barely discussed anymore in those terms. So I think people are realizing that what they were sold and what has been delivered is entirely different. And it is only now that people are beginning to question. And if, for example, a politician says, well, this, of course, has nothing to do with Brexit, it's to do with the war in Ukraine, it's to do with rising fuel prices, you only have to look to other countries in the European Union and say, well, why is it not affecting them in a similar way? Yeah. Why are they not feeling it in the way that we are? And of course, it is important to say that Northern Ireland is the poorest region of the United Kingdom. So we are going to be disproportionately affected by these price increases, by spiralling costs, and people are fearful of the winter. And I suppose what they wanted to hear is that there was going to be some immediate action from either of these two when they became leader. And I felt they were very sort of lackluster in terms of talking about getting our government back, dealing with the cost of living crisis, a lot of platitudes. And they actually got a very easy ride from the Conservative membership, who didn't question them and say, well, what exactly do you intend to do? So both, for example, said they now support the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill, which has just gone through the House of Commons and has gone to the House of Lords, where it will have a difficult passage that will take at least a year. And the bill itself is an enabling bill. So it in itself doesn't allow anything to happen. It simply says that ministers would be allowed to override parts of the protocol, but regulations would have to be drawn up for that. So it's a lengthy process. And they're not giving us any answers in the interim.
Yeah, it seems quite clear that Boris Johnson didn't care about Northern Ireland because he double-crossed the DUP. Liz Truss doesn't care about Northern Ireland. Rishi Sunak doesn't care. I mean, he pulled that stunt, his first ever visit to Northern Ireland, by the way, and he opens up by saying, "Good afternoon, my fellow Britons." it's enough to make you laugh.
Well, it is actually laughable. And you just think, who is advising these people? That's really what I think. When he bound onto the stage, you know, like something from CBeebies, "Hello, my fellow Britons." And people are actually looking askance at him, thinking, are you serious? And this is your first visit to Northern Ireland. And to be fair to the Northern Ireland Conservative Party, they are generally trying to chart a road between orange and green. They wanted an alternative narrative and have got almost zero support from the Conservative government. And also, as you rightly say, Northern Ireland was sacrificed in order to get Brexit done. The DUP were dumped. And when the protocol was negotiated and signed up to, it was very clear to anyone that Northern Ireland would have a separate legal and economic regime. And the government signed up to that and agreed to it. So I don't know why it would suddenly take them by surprise.
Yeah. And there are all sorts of diverse arrangements across the union, as it were, because in Scotland, they have their own educational system. There are different rules and regulations that they apply. And there's no reason why Northern Ireland could not, those who are unionists by temperament, could not feel still part of the union while enjoying actually rather more generous rules than other parts of the union. Anyway, that's for another day. just looking at a thing that flashed up on Sky News a moment ago, Tories being asked who they'd prefer to be Prime Minister, 46% Boris Johnson, 24% Liz Truss, 23% Rishi Sunak. So where does that leave us?
Well, it is extraordinary. But, you know, listening to Liz Truss saying, you know, Boris Johnson was a fantastic Prime Minister and he had a fantastic track record. She is very well aware of the fact that people still hark after him regardless of what has happened. And so she is really, you know, a different, same book by a different cover. And she knows that if she starts talking down his regime, it will be bad for her. And that tells you really all you need to know about this Conservative government.
Even though a number of people have referred to as close to barking as you're ever likely to see in a mainstream politician. So there you are. Deirdre, look, thank you very much for joining us. Deirdre Heenan, Professor of Social Policy at the University of Ulster and columnist with the Business Post.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News.